Warning. This podcast contains strong language and immature subject matter. The strong language contained could make a Wolverine purr. Listener discretion is advised.
What's with the Halloween costume?
This is not a costume. These are my clothes.
I gotta find Linda. She was in trouble.
Linda's all right. She can take care of herself.
No, she can't. Something's wrong. She's in big trouble and I love her. I love her. Yeah, I do love her.
But how can you love her? You don't even know her.
Oh, yeah, I do. If she's in trouble, then I got no business standing here talking with you. Even if you are what you say you are.
Linda is not in trouble.
Look, don't make me get rough, okay?
You wouldn't stand a chance. Please trust me. Linda is all right.
How do you know?
I just... No.
Linda.
From Atlantic Canada, Lonely Hearts. This is your new episode of the Romance Comics Podcast, a right proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network, featuring me, Siskoid, and people might call me Mike. I'm here with Bass.
Hi.
Fern.
Hello.
And Marty.
Hey.
Four guys who get together every 3 weeks to talk about romance comics and romances in comics, and we've got a doozy or two for you today.
Mm-hmm.
This week we talk about everyone's favorite Kryptonian, at least currently, Supergirl.
She's awesome.
With the success of the TV show, and we are going to talk about it in the back half of the episode, we didn't really need to be told to do this, but it's still a suggestion from our pal Ange from the Supergirl blog Comics Box Commentary. And after talking to Ange, we decided to cover a classic Silver Age Supergirl romance story from Action Comics 311, April 1964, reprinted for our convenience in Adventure Comics 390, April 1970, along with other crazy Supergirl romances. And I'm talking about Supergirl's Cowboy Hero. It's by Leo Dorfman and Jim Mooney, and it was originally called The Day the Super Horse Became Human. It's a bit on the nose. So how crazy was this, boys?
Super crazy.
It was crazy. It was fun, kind of weird, crazy.
And it's a direct sequel from 10 issues before, when Comet the Super Horse, who you'll remember was not a Kryptonian, he wouldn't fit in a capsule.
Of course not.
Space
even
capsule.
Even as a puppy.
But he was a centaur who was turned into a telepathic super horse by the sorceress Circe from the Odyssey.
Of course.
And who in Action 301 was rewarded for his help by a wizard on another planet, so that now he turns into a man whenever a comet flies by the Earth.
I fucking love comics.
Supergirl has briefly met this man when
horse.
He was a man.
Morse? What do you call him? Horse? Man horse?
Well, the
centaur.
She rides the horse.
Storse?
The horse is her... is a companion of hers.
Yeah, she rides the horse.
She rides the horse. Yeah. But when she only met the man once, and she thinks he's called Bronco Bill, a rodeo star called Bronco Bill.
Of course he's called Bronco.
She has no idea he is secretly Comet the Super Horse. All caught up?
We are.
Okay.
We are like a centaur in a net.
So let's look at this thing.
That's not a thing.
It is in the previous comic.
Yeah, but...
Non sequitur.
Now, of course, the splash page kind of steals the punch, so... Yeah. Always gives away the punch.
Right.
But...
fucking readers, Mike.
Yeah.
Fucking readers. They're like, oh my god.
Oh my god! She's kissing a horse!
No, see, what you just said, nuh-uh. This is why I'm angry at this comic.
Don't kiss a gift horse in the mouth.
I am angry at this... I'm angry at this comic because I can't get angry that there is no picture of Supergirl kissing a horse. Because that's what they tease the entire time. I'm angry that I can't get angry.
That's
at.
For the porn parody, Fern.
She ain't kissing a horse in that one.
Well, here's the blurb. As Supergirl's frequent companion in her adventures, Comet the Superhorse has always shown deep devotion for the Maid of Steel, but one day a mystic spell works a wondrous change on the Stallion of Steel, transforming him into a mortal, and on that day, loyalty and affection turn to love, the love of a man for a beautiful girl. That's just the beginning of the weird chain of events that occur to Supergirl's cowboy hero. The whole story's it.
Yeah, the whole story's right there.
We don't need to read it.
Gave the bunch.
Spoilers.
Yeah, but how does it happen?
Right. Well, it happens on St. Valentine's Day, which, coincidentally, you're listening to this.
This is
a couple weeks out, but... Yeah. Yes.
Today is St. Valentine's Day.
And wrap it up, boys. I got things to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
And it's our ninth episode. So Lonely Hearts. You can get love potion number 9 somewhere in here.
It's St. Valentine's Day, and all the boys are knocking at Linda Lee Danvers' door. For she is Midvale's most popular girl.
Of course she is.
Yeah. Later, she visits the Daily Planet offices as Supergirl, where she got tons of Valentines from around the world. And she brings her giant mailbag to, if you know what I mean, to the Fortress of Solitude, where Comet is prancing in the friend zone.
Really? I believe it's a friend pasture.
Then she gets a telepathic summons from her sort of boyfriend, Jero, a merman from Atlantis, who fakes an emergency just to show her his Valentine made out of luminous fish.
That is the worst use of an emergency telepathic link ever.
But they make out.
And Comet watches them kiss, and he wishes he were human so that he could tell her how he really feels.
Oh, Comet.
So
poor
that's
Comet.
Just the first two pages.
Comet is so pitiful.
First of all, is this how celebrities did it back then? It was like, I don't have a P.O. box for people to send me shit. Just send it to the local newspaper.
Well, she's like Santa Claus.
Yeah, I don't think the mail truck goes to the Fortress of Solitude for Superman's mail.
And I'm pretty sure. Yeah, but where do they...
The only person who can deliver Superman's mail is Superman, so...
And I agree to that. It's just, where did you put it elsewhere? It's like, I'm pretty sure all those letters to Santa, it's File 13 garbage.
Hopefully they can find, like, a lost Kryptonian who was a mailman on this planet.
Well, I think Mon-El.
And he's really passionate about it.
Mon-El was mail the mailman. He's just... But,
they keep those letters. The
really?
Santa Claus letters, yeah.
Where? In a facility known only by top men?
Where us 13?
Oh, they have a machine powered by kids' wishes.
Wow. Now they publish them, and they make...
They're opening someone else's mail? That's a federal offense.
No, look, in the future, historians are going to love those, because they're going to be like, what did kids want back then?
Exactly. And why are all the parents divorced?
Two Christmases!
But in this case, Superman and Supergirl are real people, and...
It's just like, they've got the Daily Planet.
Superman's got an obvious connection to the Daily Planet.
Yeah.
He gives them all the scoop, so let's just, you know...
You know what?
Lois Lane, please give letters to Superman, your boyfriend.
I was wondering about how long can these people hold their breath? I mean, Jero, I get it.
Jero,
he's a merman. I mean, he has gills somewhere.
Somewhere.
Oh my god, I never thought about that. Somewhere.
He's like Lori Lamar's cousin or something.
Yeah, exactly. He's Jero. Probably Jero Lamar, I'm thinking.
Mr. Jero.
We don't see it here, but he's got a fishtail.
But,
it's,
I mean...
He's really a merman. It's not an Aquaman.
Exactly. He's a merman. And
big difference.
That means he's got a cloaca.
I don't know what that is. But, I mean, Supergirl, she can hold her breath for a long time, right?
Yeah,
she goes into space and everything. But are they really holding their breath? I mean, the horse is underwater right now. Comet is underwater.
Well, they've all got the Superman powers. And they don't need to breathe, especially in the Silver Age.
And speaking of Superman powers, in the origin story that we read that we're not going to talk too much about, he was a centaur, and she screwed up with a potion to make him a horse. The way that she decided to... kind of pay him back for that, it was give him all these superpowers. And yet, at one point, we see her turn a lamb into a child, so she can clearly turn an animal back into a man. So she could have fixed it there.
That's going to become important.
Oh, shit! I made you a horse. Give me 15 minutes. I'm going to go turn the cauldron back on.
He was never a man, though.
No, he wasn't.
He was a centaur.
Yeah, but that was a lamb that she turned into a human baby.
Is it still as delicious, though? That's what I'm thinking.
Maybe. But think about it this way. If she turns a lamb into a baby, think about that baby's disposition. What about Cersei just dropping baby potions on, like, snakes and spiders?
Well, it's only like, for a limited time. It doesn't stay like that for the whole lifetime.
Imagine that.
For, like, a day or something.
It just reminds me of the plot of Emperor's New Groove.
You turn a snake into a baby, and you give it to a lady, and she's breastfeeding it, and then, whoa! Snake.
I think permanence is the problem for Cersei.
Well,
I can't stop imagining Cersei from Game of Thrones.
it's not spelled the same.
No, but still.
It isn't.
I didn't read it the same, but now that we're saying it, I'm like, oh my god.
But can I just say, I like the horse's face. Da-ding, da-ding.
Why the long face?
Why the long face? The horse, when he's... I hadn't noticed this before, but when he's looking at Love to My Valentine Supergirl, the luminous fish, he's like, pissed off.
Yeah, he's so pissed off. I laughed.
He's reading and going...
I actually laughed this is like, fucking out loud when I saw that. I was like, oh my god.
Fucking Gerald. That's what he's thinking. Fuck, and I should kick him in his gills. Like,
and I thought that...
Horse, no. Fish, yes.
Yeah. I thought that thought bubble, too, was for him at first. I was like, oh, it's beautiful. I was like, he's so pissed, but he's like, still begrudgingly, it's beautiful. It's like,
no, that's Supergirl's.
Yeah, I realized after was Supergirl.
Supergirl's thought.
Supergirl's toupee.
Yeah, and it's really kind of, it's actually pretty sad that he says.
We're laughing at this poor guy.
As far as she's concerned.
No. It's a horse, okay? It's a horse.
Says, but alas, as far as she's concerned, I'm just a super pet.
I know.
I mean.
Well, dude, that's what you are. You're a goddamn horse.
But he used
horse.
To be a person.
No, I mean, he used to be a centaur.
Well, centaurs are people.
That's half a person.
They're people. Okay. They can't wear pants, but... Like,
if a centaur were to wear pants, would he wear just on the first two legs on the first four?
Well, in the for horses, I'd say the back end would have... But for a centaur, I don't know, because he has six limbs. Mm-hmm. It's weird. He's a crab.
The next few pages. Comet time travels to the past.
It's easy.
Yes.
But yeah, you can run fast enough to break the time barrier.
Of course, and he does it with the old Superman style.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, when you see the dates floating around.
The time portal has dates, so you can find it.
Well, useful. Comet time travels to the past to find the sorceress Cersei, who surely can make him human, and together they reminisce about his secret origin. He asks to be made immortal.
Remember the good times.
Yeah, but she sees in her crystal ball that he'll one day regret being a man and want to be a super horse again. It's okay. She magics him a little and tells him he'll turn into a man once he reaches the future. But Comet feels dizzy when he's going back and crashes, confused, where there's this whole thing with him... getting painted black with oil and encountering a masked outlaw who thinks he's a devil horse but befriends him, and Comet, a little naively, helps his new friend rob a train. And I was so sure this was all happening in the Far West.
I thought so too.
Yeah. That he crashed in the wrong date.
And in the past, exactly.
Obviously, we're in a frontier area.
It's called Oil City.
Oil City, but Oil City isn't Dallas. It's...
No.
It's hole in the ground, Arizona.
To be fair, Oil City. Least romantic city name or most romantic city name?
In that time, least. Yeah. It's all dark also, and
it depends if you're single or not.
And then at the end of that sequence, he finally loses his powers and turns into a man. The outlaw is out of view, and then it all comes back to him. So what was I doing? So it's all the confusion that caused him to commit crimes.
Right. I'd just like to talk about this one panel here where Cersei is having a magician's duel with this other dude in a purple jumpsuit.
Yeah, you
turned into Malador. Pretzel. That would be Malador.
Like,
Malador.
He's a pretzel right now.
Yeah, exactly. I remember the Sword in the Stone magician's duel that they were having. It was cute, and there was kind of a sort of slow escalation. Right now, she goes, oh, you gave me horns? Say goodbye to your bones, motherfucker, and turns him into a human knot.
This escalated pretty quickly.
Because I like to imagine that, see, he still has his bones. They're just breaking constantly by being contorted. She's that evil. Because that's the Cersei of legend. That she would do that stuff. Oh, look, you messed up my hair. Guess what? You're toad now. Forever.
Well, it shows how she's powerful enough to turn Comet into a...
Yeah.
a person. Well, a horse, but a person.
Or a horse with superpowers.
Right.
Or, you know...
Yeah.
I do enjoy the when Comet gets set on fire.
Yeah. Yes.
It's kind of epic, actually.
That's, you know what? It's scary.
And it's a two-parter, because the masked bandit or whatever...
The hooded demon.
Hooded demon, thank you. He goes, could that be the devil horse? He might be afraid of fire. And then just throws fire in front of the horse, which is covered in pitch, and it lights up, and that's still not enough for him. Like, he's getting science on this bitch. We need a control experiment.
He needs to shoot the horse.
I need to control to make sure that this is the devil horse. So he pulls out his gun and shoots it in the face.
In the face, yeah. In the jaw.
Like, straight up.
Well, that's part of the...
Because
that's why
happened?
I thought we were in the Far West. I mean, why does this guy believe in a devil horse?
Exactly.
He read one too many...
In the 1960s.
One too many...
Calamity Jane stories.
One too many Ghost Rider comics, and he's like, yeah, I want a fire horse. Like,
well, I mean, who here wouldn't want a fire horse, besides me, because I'm allergic to horses? To be fair, am I allergic to a horse on fire? I don't know. This might be an experiment.
Are you allergic to a super horse?
Maybe super allergic. Yeah.
Now,
because if it
used to be a man, that
the
would
Superman
turn into
family
a horse?
At this point in time couldn't cut their hair.
Right.
Yeah.
So if it's the shedding, super horse doesn't shed.
No.
Right.
No.
But people
sheds asbestos.
People aren't allergic to the hair. I thought it was just the dandruff.
The skin is not dandruffing.
No, she's always moisturized everywhere. There's not a flake.
It's weird
super skin.
Skin oil.
Unless after she turned into Rapidash here.
This is a fucking
nightmare. You're calling her she, but you know, comment support.
Yeah, all horses are she in my head. I don't know why.
Well, that puts a new spin on this story.
Yeah.
They're very progressive.
Yeah, I mean,
we see how powerful that Comet is. How powerful he
like
is.
Like, he's got a gunshot. He doesn't even twitch. He's just like, he looks bored.
Look,
he just got set on fire, shot in the face, and he looks bored.
He looks bored.
And he still decides this guy's his friend.
Yeah.
The only person I know has been shot in the face and looked that bored is 50 Cent.
Afterwards, he helps the hooded demon to steal a train. And he breaks the locomotive in two with just his front paws.
Yeah.
I mean,
the horse
Comet is
paws?
Powerful. Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm calling him hooves.
Hooves?
He breaks it with his hooves.
Hooves. It behooves you to call them hooves.
Yeah, I mean, I'm Dr. scared of this horse right now.
That's probably the My Little Pony version, Dr. Hooves.
That probably exists somewhere.
There is one. I don't know the name. I don't want to know the name.
I gotta say, those horse people transforming into horses, that must have been the inspiration for Animorphs.
Yes.
So every time I see that, I'm a kid of the 90s. I'm like, oh, Animorphs.
Like the shape of the face?
Yeah.
And the transformation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, that terrible TV show nobody remembers.
No, everyone remembers it, just not correctly.
No.
People remember, it was so good.
They're weird aliens in there. It's a weird show.
But we're about to find out that we're not in the Far West.
Nope.
Nor
in the Animorph universe. He steals some of the outlaw's clothes from the hideout and finds a forest ranger's cabin, but ends up stealing his white horse... Of course, when a posse shows up to grab the hooded demon, whose clothes he's wearing. So he leaves the horse in an enclosure and comes upon Linda Lee Danvers, whatever her name is at this point, who he knows as Supergirl. She's sightseeing in the area. So it was like a school trip.
With a bunch of people.
A ledge crumbles under her, and before she needs to expose her powers, Comet ropes her. Comet, I'm calling him Comet, but he's a man.
Yeah.
Ropes her with a lasso, once again adopting the Bronco Bill identity. She thanks him with a kiss, and he's hired as a guide on the spot.
He didn't put the horse in an enclosure. He put a stick between two rocks.
Created an enclosure.
You know, that just proves that horses are dumb.
Surprised he's pretty adept with two legs. Like, the guy never had two legs before.
Yeah.
He's already like, yeah.
Well, there his was balance is way in. We don't know how big he is. Well, he's probably big.
What are you talking about?
Well, he has his balance is all
his
perfect.
Calf muscles. He's talking about his calf muscles.
He's balancing really easily. He ropes her.
He was a man before in the origin story as the archer when he saved... Right.
Well, he's a centaur. He's supposed to, like, use bows and arrows. That's what they do, right?
Yeah, sure.
I think it's a racial ability. He probably gets a plus one on it.
And a plus one.
And he's got an empathy with the horse.
Yeah.
Of course. You know, he's like, oh.
I know how you feel.
I get it. Hay's not tasty.
Oh man, I've had a hamburger before.
But it's more of this.
It's delicious, but then he goes back to being a horse on a farm and just looks at a cow and he's like,
"Sorry about your cousin, dude."
But how do I tell you that I really enjoy your friendship, but you are delicious.
I love the kissing panels where he's always. It's not just a kiss. It's not a peck on the cheek. It's making out.
And yeah. It's a dip. It's always a dip.
He's
a
dipping dip. Her way and down.
He is in there. He's probably licking tonsils at this point.
He is in there. And her wig just stays on.
Oh, she's a magic wig. And this is they kissed in the previous comic store.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was a whole put on. It was for the cameras. Oh,
but it was also Supergirl. Right now, she's Linda Danvers.
So in her head, she knows what happened in the story we're now talking about. The previous story, which was called The Secret Identity of Superhorse.
There's a sorcerer's planet involved, magic.
It's actually the planet Xerox, the Sorcerer's World, which made its first appearance there and then became the Sorcerer's World in the 30th century where the White Witch trained, where Mordru came from.
Okay.
So it's like, I was like, geez. Wow. In this silly little story, there's actually something that Jim Shooter, when he wrote The Legion, actually brought. That's all Legion of Superblogger stuff. Yeah. But in that story, at the end, they name Supergirl Queen of the Rodeo, and they name Bronco Bill King of the Rodeo for whatever.
And of course, they are forced to kiss. Well,
and they are forced to kiss for a camera.
Yeah.
And
contractually
happens all the time.
Right? Oh, and it doesn't seem at that point that there's no attraction. That's why we didn't cover the story. It's not told as a romance. It just happened. But from Supergirl's point of view, she actually finds him attractive. She thinks so several times.
And from Comet's point of view, he's always been in love with her.
It doesn't show in first story.
It's more like a crush type thing.
Yeah. It is unrequited love.
Yeah. This is the kind of situation comedy type thing where...
Who's up first?
Well, exactly. She's Linda, so she's not Supergirl, but she remembers him, but she can't tell him she remembers him. And he's like... Ooh, I know she's her. I know she's Supergirl, but I can't tell her I know she's Supergirl because she'll know that I'm Bronco Bill the horse.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny because it's multi-layered.
Right. Yeah. But this is the first time that there's an actual
attraction.
They're kissing because of attraction. Right. Where he's in love with her at this point, so he's kissing her under false pretenses.
Basically.
Yeah, this is a lesson about consent.
But to be fair, he saves a cub from quicksand.
This is a lesson about consent using the most circuitous and worst examples ever.
Also, she's kind of, probably playing along because, she falls... She could have just fell and be like, "Oh, I'm okay."
I think he rescued her before that had to happen.
Yeah, that's what she says. But still, she could have just fell and be like,
"Yeah." Well, the Silver Age is full of these silly secret identity stories. Yeah.
But it always happens in superhero comics where people fall and they kind of forget that they can fly half the time.
Yeah.
But in this case, they do know. They're just they're always trying to hide.
Mm-hmm.
And here we're supposed to think, oh, well, she would have revealed herself as Supergirl. No, she would just have found another trick.
Could have fallen and then just pretended to be hurt, but still be fine. Ow, my knee, ow, ow.
Somebody pick me up.
Help me.
Yeah. Oh, I found a ledge, And just show up later. Page 11 is the important one for us.
There's a lot of rainbows on that one.
Yeah, next thing you know, he's saving bear cubs from quicksand and Supergirl is... actually legit falling for him. They make out under a Kryptonian made rainbow and everything. So this is the big romance page.
And the heat vision rainbow is majestic.
There is no end to the number of things the Kryptonian superpowers can do.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah, that was back when Superman had super basket weaving and it was just crazy. It was whatever.
I find it super hilarious because lately Superman, apparently in the comics, I don't read them, but he got a new superpower, and it was a big headline, and I'm like, really, guys?
Yeah,
he can hear radio waves now. That's nothing compared to what we see today. Yeah.
This doesn't even sound like a new power.
No.
It sounds like something he already had.
Yeah. Exactly. He I think he has Wi-Fi now. That's what it is.
That's pretty much what it is.
He can get Wi-Fi.
He can tweet from
wherever. This made news stories. Like, that's nothing. Like, look at this. Rainbows.
I thought he could...
Where was our headline?
Yeah.
I thought he could see radio waves, but he couldn't hear them or something like that.
If he has X-ray vision, he can probably see radio waves.
Yeah,
I bet he's giving cancer to everyone.
Well, he is
X-ray visioning everything.
He is
that's some Alan Moore Watchmen shit.
Yeah, that would be... Yeah, actually.
It's like Dr. Manhattan, surprise, you have cancer.
But I mean, if Spider-Man could give MJ cancer from his radioactive sperm, I guess I'm just saying I miss these times where powers were fun and didn't give you cancer. You know? How sad is that? Like, then, you had nuclear things give you powers. You know, it could go through time, catch ghosts.
Time and catch ghosts.
You know, that was the 80s and,
yeah, that's true.
And before. Yeah. Now, nuclear stuff. Gives you cancer.
I love that you say nuclear. Nuclear. Nuclear.
Well, he's got to now that we're in the Fire and Water podcast network.
We have to say nuclear now?
Nuclear.
Well, yeah.
It's nuclear.
That's what Shag says.
Nuclear.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Clear.
Nuclear.
Bagel.
Nuclear.
So what happened to nuclear? You know what I don't get page? The last panel.
Okay.
Where Buffalo Bill or
Bronco Bill
buys
Buffalo, Buffalo Bill would be a really different date with Supergirl.
Bison Robert, he's
just putting on makeup. And go, would you buck me?
Man Comet is looking and he's
Man
like,
Comet.
Oh my God, the posse that was looking for the hooded demon. They know I'm around here. I've got to do something.
Change clothes.
That's what I just grab.
Take off your shirt. You're with Supergirl.
And
he knows it's Supergirl.
And it's not that distinctively the hooded demon's clothes. Yeah. He doesn't wear the mask.
Right. We're looking for a guy in a blue shirt. Get rid of the blue shirt, you know?
And how many people with blue shirts are there? One? I mean, there are blue shirts out there. She has a blue
suit.
Let me look.
Are there other people with blue shirts?
There's a bunch.
Brown shirt.
Of course not, but you know.
White shirt.
We don't see everybody.
Yellow shirt.
Nope.
No blue shirts.
So he has to run when the posse once again shows up.
Yeah.
And this time, Supergirl is after the hooded demon too.
She's a superhero.
Because she can hear radio waves.
Exactly.
And she doesn't just want to bring him to justice. She wants her horse back as well, because he's riding off on that white stallion. And she thinks it's got to be Comet.
And by the way, he went back to the whole thing where the oil was, where he burnt up. He picked up his old cape and put it into his saddlebags.
So that's flapping around.
That's flapping in the wind.
And so she thinks that's Comet for sure.
Yeah.
But she can't get to him because her powers give out.
Yeah, because he's magic. She's thinking he's magic, right? Because he has a magic horse, and magic is one of the super family's weakness.
And hooded demon.
Yeah, exactly.
He's on the devil horse. Well, he's on Comet. He's stolen Comet. So obviously he's got control over their powers.
So at this point, the only possible solution.
Yes.
He couldn't stop and talk to Supergirl and tell her something.
Well, the posse's close.
And
who's going to stop them? Not Supergirl.
And he doesn't really... At this point, he's not helping Supergirl.
No, he prays.
Yeah.
He appeals to Cersei, who's watching him from the past and who magics him back into a super horse, just as she predicted she'd had to.
Well,
Comet races back to Supergirl, kicks away green kryptonite that's affecting her. There's kryptonite in the pool of oil. So half the earth is kryptonite.
Yeah, apparently.
And green kryptonite. At this point, they had all kinds of kryptonite.
Oh, yeah. They had, like,
but now he's a horse again.
Yeah.
He's a horse again, so...
Because he could not kick kryptonite as a man. Well, that was too hard.
I'm thinking he kicked it into space. That's what I want to believe. Yeah. He kicked it into
space.
As
a man, he couldn't take the green stone far away. Anyways, he would still be considered to perhaps be the hooded demon. Anyways, when they reach the posse together... they find out that the posse's already caught the real hooded demon.
And he has a brown shirt. Oh, my God.
And Supergirl is saddened to think her false accusations made Bronco Bill run away.
Poor Bronco Bill.
And it's funny because, you know, there's this prediction that he's going to regret being a man. And he's like, oh, and we think it's going to be something huge, right? Something that life threatening, or that's what I thought. It was, oh my god, he's gonna die as a man, but he could have survived as a horse. But
it's a rock. I mean, this is DC's version, but in Marvel they always have this with Reed Richards and the Thing. He's like, oh, you know, Ben, you want to become human again? I can only do this to you once, and I'll never be able to revert it again, said Reed Richards, going... because he does it every
Tuesday.
Single issue. I'll never be able to turn you back. Oh, whoop, here you go, you're back to Ben Grimm, but I'll never be able to turn you back into the Thing.
You know what? The first time he did it, though, when Ben was like this kind of cement type guy, but then he became the big rock type guy, that was great.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah. But I'm just pretty sure Reed Richards has like a remote control with a huge red button. He just clicks it.
Well, right now, they found a way to give him a day every month, every year.
I have no
idea. So he reverts.
Oh, regularly.
Yeah.
So he can go out with the blind chick.
Alicia Masters.
I don't know Marvel. I love the way that Comet just uses his time travel magic Skype technology. to talk to Cersei.
Still, guys, he kicked a rock.
Well, you had to save your life.
I can kick a rock. I don't need to be a horse.
Yeah, but can you kick it as far as that horse
I know
can?
Oil is slippery, but still, I could carry the rock away.
And Oil City... Well, Oil City isn't a city. There's no city, but the Oil City surroundings, the suburbs, the
oil
desert.
Oil City is like a saloon and general store.
You could have used the other horse to pull oil the rock
city
away.
Oil City is a desert with standing pools of oil all over the place.
The only city part
which may
is
or may
probably,
not have kryptonite in them.
The only city part is probably like where all the oil field workers sleep at, like the oil field camp.
All this time I'm thinking, is this Alberta? Is this...
Well, if Metropolis is Toronto...
It could be.
Which is one of the cities it was based on.
Huh. Well, that makes sense, yeah.
And Midvale is... The middle of... So Midvale is Winnipeg. And then you might have Oil City.
Yeah, you know,
in
it
Alberta.
Looks like, oil sands.
Yeah. Because it's like right there on the surface.
Canadian agenda.
And there was quicksand and there was bears. So
and Smallville is Saskatchewan.
It's Moose Jaw.
Medicine Hat.
I just love the way the only way this could ever resolve itself is by becoming Super Horse again.
Yeah.
He could have
put the rock on the other horse, tapped his ass, the horse would have ran away.
Well, he was good with rope, right? He could have roped it out.
He could have roped it out. He could have not left the other horse there to die. Because we don't know what happens.
It's trapped by a stick.
Yeah, the other horse is just grazing on a hill in a desert.
Yeah, it's not grazing on much. Yeah.
Well,
are you sure that's grass or kryptonite?
comics in those days were basically like Springfield in The Simpsons, where every town is next to a desert and the ocean,
and a mountain range,
and they have like pine trees in the last panel there.
This place is weird.
So they have everything.
They're setting up a future horse villain. He's eating kryptonite grass.
And he's,
he's going to turn to
plotting revenge.
Kryptonite.
The Bizarro horse.
Horse with no name.
Tomek. I think it's Comet backwards. It's Tomek the horse.
It would be Timok.
I am happy.
Bad horse, bad horse, bad horse. He rides across the nation, the thoroughbred of sin. He got the application that you just sent in. It needs evaluation, so let the games begin. A heinous crime, a show of force, a murder would be nice, of course. It's Hyo Silver, side bad horse.
So no horse kissing.
No horse kissing.
I know, that's why I'm so angry.
But still.
A little bit of horseplay.
I think there's also a Lois Lane story like this.
Boobass.
There's also a Lois Lane story like this.
Is it Streaky who falls in love
with Lois? No, it's still Comet. It's still horses. Anyway, that's for another day. But that's not the weird part.
That's not the weird part?
I think I know
where you're going
when
with
he
this.
Was a man.
Right. Please show me on the doll where the weird part is.
When he was a man,
yes,
and she was in love with him, and they had a vacation romance.
Yeah, that's what it was.
She kissed a man who used to be a man.
She has a thing for like half man, half something else.
There
right?
is that.
Yeah,
there is that. That's not weird. I mean, that's weird, but it's not weird. What's weird is that now he's a horse again, and we know how he feels, and she's riding him. He's a mount to her.
Yeah,
he's a super pet.
Yeah.
She hit level 20. She got her mount. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
So that's weird to me, that the person she had a romance with, that she still has romantic feelings with, now accepts his role as a simple pet.
See, that's...
It's like, you don't know...
That's
but
character
your,
growth.
Your dog...
I had an affair in my past.
You don't know. You've had an affair with the
your
dog.
Your first girlfriend is now your dog.
Right.
I never had an ex called Lily.
You live with a cat, and the cat used to be your girlfriend, but you don't know, but the cat knows.
The cat knows. This is the...
And that explains a lot about cats. But, I mean, this is what's...
This is
that's,
some
that's
next level
is.
Lady hawk
yeah,
shit.
That's weird.
That
where during
is
the day, she's a hawk, and during the night, he's a wolf or whatever. And they can only see each other when there's, like, a full moon eclipse.
What is this?
Lady hawk. And it's like, during the day, one of them's an animal, and during the night, the other one's an animal, and they...
That's the plot of Lady Hawk?
Yeah. And
that was like a pirate movie.
Amazingly
pirate
garbage. It is 80s fantasy garbage is great. It's like Crawl.
Does Beastmaster turn into beasts?
No.
He controls beasts.
He has ferrets.
He has ferrets.
I've never seen Beastmaster.
He has a huge black lion. I think they dyed a lion. I don't know.
Or they put a wig on a panther. We don't know. Either or.
Wig. Which is more dangerous? Painting a lion or putting a wig on a panther?
Oh, they're both dangerous. I mean, just don't do it.
Back on
the
Comet.
Animal handler on that movie.
But poor Comet.
Yeah, that poor
he's
horse
a guy.
Man.
Yeah.
Guy, horse.
Poor character.
Well,
poor
he's sentient,
Comet.
Right?
Yes.
Yep.
He's sentient, so he's basically a person.
Like, he can't share his feelings with...
He could share his feelings with another horse.
Well,
someone of
well
his
that's the thing. In the previous story, once it's all over, he joins a group of a herd of horses.
Yeah.
And well, until the next time I'm called. Like, he's a freaking accessory.
Yeah.
But how...
Well,
how,
next time Supergirl calls, but in the meantime, I'll hang out with horses, even though I've got the mind of a person.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Let's see, hey.
It's like my everyday life.
But
it seems like
your everyday life, just hang around with humans. Why isn't anyone like a dog?
No, but I mean this poor...
some other animal you identify with.
This poor horse.
Like most people, just hang out with blinders on.
See, I want to
wait for the next race.
I want to see a superhero where their secret identity is actually a horse.
Like, they transform into a superhero, and when they're not a superhero, they're a horse.
They're a horse.
Oh, that'd be great. Let's do that.
Like, nobody would expect that.
I would like that, except it's a superhero team. It's like two dudes in an actual horse costume acting as if they were an actual horse.
No, if villains want to get their, like, get their loved ones, and it's just a field of horses, like, which one's which? I don't know.
I think it's the white one. Really? Is it?
They all look alike to me. I mean...
But, I mean...
That's speciesist.
She rides him. Back to this thing. She rides him like a pet. And then in the last panel, she says, "Oh, Comet, Bronco Bill was so handsome, so noble."
Twisted.
Why didn't I trust him? Now I'll probably never see him again. And that poor horse just got his heart ripped out. Oh, man.
He got kicked right into that friendship pasture.
Oh, oh he does man. Promise
she slammed the gate.
He does promise a sequel. You may meet Bronco Bill once more. But every time a comet passes by, he should be turning into Bronco Bill.
Frankly, yeah.
So...
And at one point, Cersei tells him, "Oh, but you'll become a human, but you'll lose your powers." Fair trade. Yet he's become Bronco Bill, and he's still able to read the mind of the horse he's on. So I guess he hasn't lost all of his powers.
Well, it's not really mind reading. It's more like he's been a horse, so he knows how the horse will react.
That
and how...
is dumb. He pretty much states, "I'm reading
of
this
all the
mind.
Things."
Yeah,
that is yeah. This is the one thing.
This is a cavalcade of stupidity. Let's be honest.
Oh, it's fantastic. I love it.
I'm not saying I don't like it. I'm just saying this is dumb from A to Z.
You know what? I love how the Cersei's potion goes through the time travel Skype technology and hits him in the face and turns him back into a horse.
Yes.
Because she drops a potion on a ball.
That's my favorite panel where you see him in the magic ball. He's just like, "Need some help here."
he's
just like,
he's a little bit like a Virgin Mary.
Yeah, so come on here. Need some
the
help.
Hand up.
I want to be a horse again.
And he puts on the cape and the harness.
Yes.
But does he do that while he's a guy?
Because
he can't do it while he's a horse.
Look, while he's turning into a horse, he's taking off his shirt. So,
I just don't know how he changes. I mean, that harness, he has to be able to put that harness
maybe,
on himself.
Maybe he's always wearing the harness as a man, in
case.
Yeah, but
then it would just, like, be really
That's Hulk
loose.
Logic, you know, wear stretchy purple pants. That's,
well, no, because we see the cape and all that. Was,
yeah.
No, but we don't see the
blue
harness.
Sure, but how does he put on the cape?
So he has
what,
to get...
What kind of... I mean...
He has to start
the horse has to tie a cape behind his back.
He has to get naked? Completely naked,
guys.
Put on the harness,
guys,
and for a
the answer
second.
Is easy. There was another horse next to him that helped him out.
It's that horse from before.
That horse from before was like, sure, I can tie a cape.
We're not supposed to ask. No, I don't know if they'll ever bring Comet into the new TV show.
I hope so. I hope there's a romance plot, please.
Oh.
Please.
But we'll take a short break now. Okay. For an equally animal-inspired edition of Romance Comics Theater. And when we return, we'll talk a little bit about the Supergirl TV series and its romantic triangles, whether they feature horses or not.
Spoilers, they do!
Spoilers, they don't. Which one of us is lying?
Love can come to a boy and girl in many ways, but none's as astounding as when Bosco plays matchmaker. The Bronx Zoo is one of the largest, and many people visit it. And there are very few of them who don't visit Bosco.
He's a funny old geezer, all right.
He's cute. Here, Bosco. This is for you.
Bosco can't talk, of course. But did you ever wonder what he might be thinking?
Nice enough, crowd. But wait until May. That's my favorite. Love that May.
Yes, he loved May. Because that was the season of lovers. And if there was one thing that Bosco loved... it was lovers.
Aww.
Boys and girls in pairs. There was only one exception.
Here, Bosco. Gosh, you're the only one I get to talk to.
Hi, fella. You don't talk, but who else is there?
Mary Dennison would go back to her lonely room.
If only I knew somebody in New York.
And Pete Hayes' room was just as lonely.
If I only knew somebody in New York.
All week, Mary worked behind a hosiery counter and hated it.
But, madam, you can't return stockings that are so badly torn.
Young lady, I'll have you fired for this.
As for Pete, he got little joy out of his job.
Another day. Work, work, work.
But Mary had her dreams of some unknown Romeo who would bring joy into her life. And as for Pete. But came Sunday, they'd be back at the zoo again. Because they had no place else to go.
She's got a nice face. I'd like to know her.
He looks nice, but you just can't trust anybody in a big city. He could even be a criminal.
Finally, Pete tried to break the ice.
I've been noticing you here, miss, and I thought that maybe...
Indeed. Well, it so happens that I'm not interested in anything you thought. And I'll thank you not to try to talk to me again, you masher.
Don't worry, I won't, you pickle puss. Darn it, why can't I get her out of my mind? She's just a sour-faced shrew. So why can't I forget her?
Why does his face keep coming back to me? It isn't as if he was a good guy. Just a flirt, that's all.
Now, when they went back to the zoo, they were on guard against each other.
That settles it. It's time for me to get busy.
Oh! My month's pay! I've got to get it before Bosco comes back. He might rip the money up.
Climbing the bars wasn't hard.
I'll just climb right in and right out. Besides, Bosco wouldn't hurt me. At least I don't think he would.
Pete was still near enough to hear her scream.
Hang on, I'm coming! How she got in here, I'll never know. Run! Climb those high rocks at the back.
Bosco let them get away. For the moment. Then...
We'll have a better chance of holding him off up here.
Look out! Here he comes now!
How am I doing? And in this cage, you will see an unusual attraction. Oh! It sure is unusual for a bear cage.
Well, that's all, reader. Except that one late celebrant still swears to what he saw.
I'm gonna swear off. I know when I've had too much.
Bosco plays Matchmaker from Confessions of the Lovelorn number 111, February 1960, by artist George Klein, publisher, American Comics Group. Bosco by Ryan Daly of the Secret Origins podcast and the Power of Fishnets podcast. Mary and Pete by Cindy and Chris Franklin from the Supermates podcast. Narrator, Bass from the First Strike Invasion podcast. Drunkard by Rob Kelly from the Fire and Water podcast, the Who's Who podcast, Film and Water podcast, and the Power Records podcast. Random female voices by Shotgun Gunnet from O Hot Moo or Not. Random male voices by Siskoid. Thanks to almost the entire network.
When you take a picture of someone, it's permanent. And you've captured the truth of them in that moment, and that you can keep forever. And the truth of this moment is that you don't even need powers to be a hero.
I love it.
Hooray!
And we're back.
Whore's buttholes.
And we're back now.
And now we're back. Oh, jeez. Just wait for the blooper, folks.
Stuff please, that happens. Please do not put that on the blooper reel.
Oh, please do it.
Please no.
Do it.
You knew the microphone was on.
You knew what you got into.
Let's talk about the Supergirl TV series.
Okay.
It's a Supergirl TV series.
There is.
Where can they watch that?
TV and the internet.
Is it ABC?
I think it's ABC.
CBS.
It was
CBS.
We don't know.
Other networks are available.
CW. No way that's The Flash.
I'm not shilling for any channel.
We need that sponsor money. Yeah. I want to quit my job.
The Supergirl show is like the other CW. Well, it's not a CW show, but it is. It's
exactly
a Doug Berlanti
show.
Yeah,
they're all a bit the same. A little bit cheesy. A little bit but
I love it.
I like
them too.
I just gotta say before anything else, I find it awesome that we're in that period of superhero TV and movies where they're not ashamed of being superheroes. Because early 2000s, like X-Men, they make jokes about, you should wear yellow spandex. And like, yes, you should!
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
They're too cool for school.
Yeah, even Smallville show about Superman, but they're still kind of ashamed about being
Superman.
We're
going to spend 10 years not 10 wearing years the costume.
Yeah, they'll never be Superman
well,
in this Superman
by
show.
The end, they were like more silly, and you saw the rest of the whole gang stuff like that, which is cool, but for a long while, it seemed they were ashamed of being Superman.
There was the Superman, the original, well, not original, but the four movies with Christopher Reeve, and we had the iconic outfit, and it kind of got silly at times, and it was
at times, multiple times. Most of the time,
but there was still kind of
I will commit heresy here and say I'm not a big fan of the Christopher Reeve films.
I'm leaving
the Richard Donner ones were
good. I've only seen the fourth one.
I like it. They are what they are. They're a product of its time. It's great. Yeah.
As most things, they are what they are.
You will believe a man can fly.
We kind of had this...
It was on the poster.
Yep.
But like you guys said, they were everybody was kind of shy about superheroes. And like the costumes and being faithful to the comics, which are, a bit silly. And then Sam Raimi's Spider-Man came out, and there was kind of a, oh wait, we can get a bit wackadoo.
Yeah, now we have today.
Yeah,
Supergirl and the Flash, where they're like, "Yeah, sure, superhero tropes all over. We're not ashamed of this."
The Flash, they had King Shark there for a brief second.
Yeah,
but what is King Shark? A gigantic shark.
Shark, and they had Tar Pit, which is a Tar Pit guy.
Yeah, I thought he was Clayface, but his Clayface is Shane's brother.
He basically is. Yeah. He's a hot Clayface.
Yeah.
And Supergirl is basically a Superman show.
Yeah,
it is.
I think they're doing we can't do Superman because Superman's in movies and he's all tied up in other things.
Right.
But, Maxwell Lord is Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
And he's in the same dynamics as a Superman show would be.
Right. And with the latest episode that came out at the time of this recording, for the person who has everything, whatever, that old story that's been reused a couple of times, It is a Superman show, but with Supergirl, and I like it. And there's also rumors of what's-his-face from Smallville to reprise his role as Superman for the Supergirl show.
That's great. Cool. Tom Welling.
Yeah. Tom Welling.
He must be so happy about it.
It would be fun.
It
would have to be like an alternate reality or alternate Earth, because they had Jimmy Olsen. They had...
Right.
Everything else. So
they had two Jimmy Olsens.
Actually, yeah, they did.
Jimmy Olsen, the dad, and then Jimmy Olsen, the not dad.
Yeah,
the son.
So
that's how it works.
Right? Jimmy Olsen, the dad, and the not dad.
The not dad.
I was actually very excited when I saw the last episode or that one because they had Kellex, robot.
Kellex, the robot. Yeah.
And he looked awesome. He should have looked like that in the movie. Swear to God.
Right.
Because in the movie, it's like a giant. Rock, metal, phallic type thing.
Well, you know,
and it wasn't really. I love this gold. It looked like Kellex.
Yeah. But Supergirl is great.
But Supergirl is great, yeah.
I was going to say, that actress.
Melissa Benoist.
Yeah, Melissa Benoist.
Yeah.
Oui.
we can use our French.
Yeah.
Well, she says Benoist. So.
Benoist.
Benoist.
Well, okay, that's her. Isn't she great, though?
3 out of 4 stars.
She is great.
She's at 3.5, but she says Benoist.
She really pulls it off, the whole happy being a superhero, and she can look angry. She's like, she's great, I've never seen her before, and she's like, wow.
And she looks like she's able to throw a real punch.
Yeah.
You know, she's...
Yeah, no, and she... I think they thread the line quite well of the super... Like, the sweet, wholesome Supergirl of the Silver Age.
Yeah.
And the angry Supergirl.
Red Lantern Supergirl.
The Red Lantern Supergirl, yeah. The angry...
apocalypse thing.
Yeah, like, she can get angry, but she's not an angry...
Can't wait for the episode where she peels angry blood.
She's not an angry person. She gets angry.
She can get angry.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
You know, she doesn't have the same control that perhaps Superman has. Or, we don't know, Superman could get angry as well. He's just not a character, right? Yeah, he's not really in the show, so...
Yeah.
He has a punching bag at the, you know...
And I think it's clever the way... I mean, like, she has nice hair. In the sense that it's reversible. They gave her reversible hair. So that when she's Kara at work...
Yeah.
She looks like she's got, like, browner hair.
Yeah.
And then when it's loose, when she's Supergirl, the curls are
lighter.
Gold. She has highlights, but she hides them in her ponytail.
Right. So then she's... Supergirl's a blonde, but she's...
But, yeah.
She's got a darker tone.
Yeah, that was
tone.
Smart. That was good.
Yeah, that's like a nice way to do it.
She's not like this platinum blonde. It's like a darker blonde. It's richer. It's great.
Also, when she smiles, she just looks like who drew like Mary Jane the first time in Spider-Man's? She looks like Mary Jane in those comics. Yeah, she's got this big comic book smile.
Yeah, no, she's quite effective. Let's talk romances, because that's the thrust of our show.
Thrust.
Don't say like that.
So he said it first.
Well, Fern likes the party.
I do.
The most natural triangle, the most obvious triangle here is Kara, Wynn...
And the horse.
No. And Jimmy. Jimmy Olsen. And then with a side order of Adam Grant.
Yeah.
For a couple episodes, who was played by Melissa Benoist's actual husband.
Oh,
so it was kind of a stunt kind of thing. But he didn't stick around much. It's just like, just to make the other guys jealous.
Yeah.
To see who cares. Who actually cares.
And there was no really attraction between her and Bartosz.
No, not that Bartosz. Although I do wish they did use real 70s disco Bartosz.
Yeah.
If you've ever read the Power Girl series from just before.
Yeah, because Bartosz wants to mate with the Power Girl.
He wants to mate.
I just want to mate.
You just want to mate?
I just want a mate.
You're not mating with me, Sunshine.
A mate. I want a mate.
Well, just as well, because I'm not having any of that nonsense. I mean, you're just a long streak of nothing. You know, alien nothing.
There we are, then.
In the old comics, he had like a sort of romance with Lana Lang when Lana Lang was sort of a glamour star in the Bronze Age.
That sounds like a 50s science movie title. Bartosz wants to mate. See it in 3D.
Early 80s, but the Power Girl thing where it's the
that's where I knew Bartosz. Yeah. I didn't know him for
that Bartosz story is really cool. But the Bartosz they used, basically used the name, put it on a generic villain.
Yeah,
that's too bad. But no, Kara, Wynn, Jimmy.
Oh boy!
So we know that Wynn is the friend zoned
character.
It's the unrequited love.
house? Of course I like her. Like, as a friend and colleague and you know, my all-time favorite superhero. And
look, buddy, you were wrong before. I'm not in your way.
She only sees him as a friend.
Although I am very happy the way they actually handle that in one of the episodes. As far
discuss.
As... Okay. And very well.
We're right next to podcast here.
Good night, everybody. The way they handled it is, I believe it was not long after the Supergirl losing her powers for an entire day.
Right.
And Wynn, who's always sidelined, always, I kind of want to tell her how I feel. And Jimmy's like, do it. You know, everybody's telling him, do it. Even though he well knows she has nothing for him other than friendship. He actually goes for it. It spectacularly fails, but the way he handles it is essentially, look, this is how I feel. I don't know where we're going to be after this. You clearly don't feel that way. I do. Everything changes, but it's better that we actually both know and then deal with it, rather than I just sit here torturing myself forever while you make googly eyes at everyone besides me.
Well, it's emotional suicide.
Well, yeah.
It's the point where you have to say it. You know, you can't live without saying it, but saying it will be like, it's suicide.
But it
let's just kill this.
It offers that kind of emotional rebirth afterwards, so that, all right, it's done, it's over, let's move on. And they actually play with that in the further episodes, where he's just like, look, let's keep it professional for now, just back off, and we'll talk when...
You broke my heart, I'm becoming the new toy man.
Oh, good Lord.
Well, that's what I thought.
Although that was a great episode, too.
I think it's going to happen, but...
Yeah?
Oh, well, yeah. It's always something like that.
I'm on Team Wynn the entire way.
Really?
Yeah.
If he becomes a villain, you're becoming a villain with him.
I'm already a villain, Mike.
That's true. That's true.
My favorite character ever is Doctor Doom. If I could become Doctor Doom, y'all
would be gone. You're totally a Slytherin.
If the sorting hat got on my head, you'd be like, well, no. Just, no. You're too evil.
Hagrid, get out of here.
Hagrid, come get this piece of shit.
Congratulations, you're a new janitor.
You're too old for this school.
But I think even the attraction for Jimmy, Kara's attraction for Jimmy, kind of seeped out of the fact that Jimmy knows Superman.
Oh, yeah, it's completely misplaced.
It kind of felt kind of odd.
Yeah, but he gives good advice, and he helps her, and you know, that's a lot for
It's one of those, he's somewhat of a mentor to her, because he has all this time and interaction and friendship with Superman, who is her cousin, and he comes to National City. He comes there to kind of keep an eye out on her, and, you know, for her, she's like, oh, this guy knows so much, and... It's kind of an older man in a position of power over her.
It's not really, because he's a photographer.
Well, yeah, but I'm pretty sure
photographer.
I'm pretty sure out of the two in Catco, he makes a lot more money, though.
Oh, he has an iPhone, and, you know.
He has an iPhone.
He
takes pictures.
So you think the...
I don't know if it's
Kara Jimmy, never going to happen.
I don't think so. I think she friend-zoned... Or, I don't even like that.
We're using the term to mock it a bit, but
Very pejorative.
I don't like it. But I think that Jimmy and Kara, and I like that they call her Kara, not Linda Lee thing. It's her name.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be great friends, but I don't think it's going to be romantic.
Because now in one of the last episodes, he actually admitted to it. I mean, obviously he's got an attraction because he gets jealous.
Well, who wouldn't?
Right. But at the same time, he's pushing Wynn in her direction, not to sabotage him, although that would be like a Dark Jimmy subplot.
Sabotages
Wynn. Because he is with Lucy Lane, who is...
Played by Jenna Dewan Tatum. She's a very pretty
lady. Jenna Tatum's wife.
I'm waiting for Lucy to become a real nightmare. Because I'm a Silver Age fan. And in the old Jimmy Olsen stories...
Superman's pal?
Holy shit.
I'm expecting
so far in the
show... Lucy is the girl... In the comics, Lucy was the girl that was dating Jimmy. Mm-hmm. She's his girlfriend. But if he's late 5 minutes, She's got like three other guys in her apartment.
Oh, wow.
Shit like that.
Waiting on call.
Terrible.
She's awful then.
So far in the TV
and she's
show.
Always playing on his emotions. She's always going, well, Jimmy, if you actually loved me, well, you'd do this or you'd do that. He always makes a fool of himself. She's always rejecting him for the least little thing.
I mean, Jimmy was a whole other character, too.
Well, sure, yeah. But actually, that's what I liked about this Jimmy, is that when he's introduced, and when then Lucy is introduced, like, two episodes later.
Right.
It's actually complicated. It's yeah. like they broke yeah. up, and then she followed him there, and you can yeah. see there's it's been on and
yeah.
off
yeah.
kind of relationship.
But she kind of does that. So in it the, felt in the TV like show like once they've established her as a character in National City, because at one point she goes up to him, "Aren't you happy that I have this job?" Meanwhile, if you go like 5 minutes earlier in the episode, Jimmy goes, "I'm happy you have this job. I'm glad that you have this opportunity." And then she goes, "Why aren't you happy? Did you not listen to me when I said 5 minutes ago?"
I want
ago,
it to go. I want that relationship to go in the toilet and then back out and back yeah, in the toilet.
Yeah, it has to be a train wreck.
So
I want
she
it to be.
Becomes Toy Master.
Actually, she's supposed to. They might be using the Superwoman plot
really?
That, from the just before the Flashpoint. They had Lucy become Superwoman, a character okay. called Superwoman who worked for. Her dad, okay. the general.
Now there's a lame character we could put in the toilet and never see again. That guy,
General Lane.
General Lane is
ass.
The worst on that TV show. He comes in, screws everything up, and then just goes, "Well, this is not my problem. I didn't do it."
Sometime in the mid 2000s, they sort of decided he'd be like Thunderbolt Ross.
Yeah, yeah. He really feels like Thunderbolt
like
Ross.
Like
yeah.
Instead of chasing the Hulk, you're chasing Superman and just going, "Why are you chasing
oh, man,
Superman?
When does he become Red
what
Hulk?
What's the fucking point of that?"
Yeah.
There's already a bunch of people chasing Superman. No, Superman doesn't need one
yeah.
more.
I think they took General Eiling from the Captain Atom stories
yeah.
and then they turned him into like a big brute just like
yeah.
they
well,
were.
He
they Red Hulked him.
He yeah. became the Shaggy Man.
Yeah, the new Shaggy Man.
Yeah, and, but shaved.
Shaved. The shaven
oh,
Shaggy
geez,
Man.
Scoob.
I love that Shaggy
yeah,
Man story.
Yeah, but we already have a
well,
General...
They did, they did
General
that
Eiling's already in The Flash.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
yeah.
what
yeah.
general
well, yeah.
do we need?
Yeah.
But I think in the comics, they just turned General Eiling,
yeah.
General Lane into General Eiling because they didn't have General Eiling
mm-hmm.
anymore. I think that's kind of what happened.
And yet, they're going to have a Supergirl-Flash crossover episode at one point.
Why do you say "and yet"?
Because they've teased it.
No,
so
no.
Wait, so
why is this in opposition to what else
they already because they have General Eiling in The Flash.
So it's going to be
so
the generals teaming
the generals...
Oh, man.
I'm shipping the general.
It's going to be alternate universe. It's,
gonna be
it's
some,
not going to be same universe. It's
going to be some major love, huh?
Because in that universe, Flash is the first one with powers that we think. What?
Okay, so you're saying the Supergirl show and the Arrow and Flash shows are not on the same Earth?
No, they're not.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking.
And then the movies are on another Earth.
Yeah.
And then Gotham is on another Earth.
Yeah.
And then Constantine is on another Earth.
No, Constantine is on Arrow's Earth.
Okay. Arrow, Legends, and
yeah.
Earth.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm so sad about Constantine.
Me too. It was a great show.
I love Constantine.
Well, he might have another life.
Well, he's going to be an Arrow, or he was an Arrow.
The other triangle... The other triangle, in my estimation, is...
Comet, Scratchy, and...
it's Crypto.
And Poochie.
Itchy and Scratchy and Comet.
And Poochie.
No, it's Alex with Max Lord, with John Jones.
Oh, yeah.
You mean Hank Henshaw. Hank Henshaw / John Jones / The Last Martian.
You have no idea what you're talking about.
No, that is not a triangle.
It
that
is.
That is three sticks that just you put in a triangle shape and then collapse. Is
no.
three sticks... No, no, no.
I fully see it.
Alex
and
people like hot stick action.
Alex and Maxwell Lord.
Alex
and Maxwell Lord, they have something going
they
on.
They had to. With a D.
Oh, no, you can't...
She hates that man.
Hate is not so
she
far
She hates
from
everyone, so, I mean...
She's still
no,
attracted.
She loves her sister.
She's still attracted, he's still attracted, and you can see it.
You're staring.
Just wondering where you're hiding your gun under that dress.
Behave and you won't have to find out.
Yeah.
You can
There's
see
a spark.
Just
there.
Because she put him in a cell to keep...
You know, and
doesn't
he's threatening
mean...
to kill him.
Yeah, that's...
And the Martian Manhunter... I mean, he's playing the protector because his dad,
yeah.
her dad... said,
there's
but,
no attraction I mean, there more than there's just kind of a sense of protection between very
oh,
good friends.
Oh, that's what you're led to believe.
That's what it is.
Oh, there's
the
so much sexual tension
there
right
is,
there.
Yeah,
Martian sexual tension. I see Oreos all over the place.
Yeah, that's the only time he might actually get frisky if Alex shows up at work with
well,
a box
think...
of Oreo.
Look at me.
Look at me. There's no shame in surviving.
Probably they won't ship John Jones. I'd rather they wouldn't, just because there's something about his link. He had a wife and kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That he lost on his planet.
I can't wait to see Cookies, so, though.
Mars.
I want to see Cookies. I want to see more.
Yeah, I'd like to see Cookies.
I'd like to see Cookies, just for us that know that
he really likes Chocos.
He
yeah.
loves
Oreo cookies. Oreos.
Yeah.
Chocos.
I do
they
hope...
Could, that they were a, Oreos in the comics, so they, could, well, they could use them there.
I do hope there's a reveal where Martian Manhunter's in trouble, and then Alex turns into a horse. Just to save him.
Technically.
Blow out the flames.
I mean, Supergirl needs to get a cat.
Yeah.
She needs a streaky, and then later on the horse
will be revealed as
actually, there could
oh, she win.
Win
could be the horse.
Oh my. You know what? There could be a centaur horse story where she could fall in love magically with this guy who was a centaur who becomes a horse. It could happen.
Wynn
it
was,
would be funny as hell.
Calling it Wynn's if there are any writers listening to this, put Wynn as Comet.
I'm pretty sure the only writers that we have listening to this are shippers on Tumblr and DeviantArt.
Well, so, writers.
Okay. You know what? Writers. Fair yeah. point. Yeah. Do you really want to see the product of their dark oeuvre?
Yes,
I
am
asking.
Yeah, I love that.
Or if you really want a triangle shape, what about Cad Grant and Maxwell Lord? So we put Maxwell Lord at the tip of that thing with
Cad Grant,
Alex and
Maxwell
Cad Grant.
Lord, that's just two people. That's a stick.
No, no. Well, Alex is the other point.
What, in what relationship does Alex have with Cad Grant? None.
No, that's not how it works.
It's yes. more like a teepee. It's not like a triangle. It's a pointy thing. It's a pointy hat.
A pointy hat.
That's what triangles are. It doesn't matter what you know what shape.
It's a cone. It's a cone.
It's a cone head.
I love Cad Grant.
Yeah, she's great.
She is.
She's absolutely great. But her relationship with Maxwell Lord is they are CEOs of companies, and that's pretty much it.
Huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
No,
a little bit. There's
he
a struggle
is in,
of power.
Like, the tech field. She's in, like, media.
Oh, yeah, because media doesn't use tech.
And tech doesn't use media. Come on.
Come on.
The guy's on TV more than Supergirl is.
You guys are grasping more straws than Common fucking eats.
Well.
And he hates hay.
We're kidding around anyways. I don't think any of these women need
a horse.
To be shipped.
No, they don't.
None of these women need a horse.
None of
Thank
these...
you, Marty.
No, really, none of these women
solved.
Need to be shipped.
I'm not caught up, so I'm completely lost. So I'm just imagining everyone as horses.
But you know what? You know what's missing, though? It's missing some magic. Kryptonite's fine,
we need Zatanna speaking backwards for like an entire
but
episode.
You know what? Yeah, we kind of do.
I
want to
see Supergirl and Zatanna hang out. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
You know, Zatanna could, you know, rescue Supergirl, and she could be in love with the centaur horse.
Yeah.
And she's so much in love that she would do anything for the horse, and he would rob banks and stuff.
Rob banks.
Okay, now...
Because horses need money
look,
to buy
okay.
shoes.
How about this as a concession? Buona Beast, a super horse, and a dude, and smashes them together.
That would make a horse-faced guy. Because Buona Beast, he's not good at doing that
no.
stuff.
No. So that would be like a reverse centaur with the body yeah. of a man with the head of a horse.
What's that called?
Satyr.
A satyr?
What? Well, actually, no, the head of the horse is a Kelpie.
Kelpie.
I thought it would be BoJack Horseman, which is on Netflix.
Good show, by the way. It's a good show.
Right.
I love, was it Businessman or Adult Man? It was just three kids in a trench coat.
Yeah. I love it.
But yeah.
Where's our Batgirl TV show?
I think we need some more magic on Supergirl.
Black Canary.
I'll need a sparring partner. Why do you care about some leggy dame in nylons? Or have I answered my own question? Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for magic.
Black Canary and Zatanna, together in one podcast. I'm Ryan Daly, and I've got a thing for superheroes in fishnet stockings. That's why I started Power of Fishnets, the Black Canary and Zatanna podcast. Join me every 2 weeks as I celebrate the blonde bombshell and the mistress of magic in their exciting adventures published by DC Comics. Power of Fishnets, available on iTunes and at fireandwaterpodcast.com.
Let's open the mailbag!
Mailbag!
Let's open the mailbag.
Oh, wow, there's a lot of stuff in
there. Real letters sent to us by mail on the Daily Planet.
Right. We actually got an iTunes comment.
Oh, wow.
Cool. Those are rare and very useful to...
iTunes users.
Well, it's Miss Martin Witt.
Ooh, who could that be?
Joelle. She says, entertaining and fun. I recommend it without hesitation.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
On Twitter, Film and Water Podcast said, merveilleux.
Oh, wow.
What does that mean?
Flexing the French muscles.
Yeah. Amélie Montour says, I started listening to the Lonely Hearts Podcast, in which she starred in that last episode, and I can't even handle your accent in Romance Comics Theater. Amazing. That was my shitty Italian accent.
I'm still disappointed we didn't use my Super Mario. Hey, it's a me! Count, what was his name?
Count Dooku!
Lorenzo. It's a me, Count DeFalco!
It's a me! Count Lorenzo! Let's go, it's a pizza!
My father has killed your dog!
The thing is that I work with an Italian person,
okay.
Sardinian, and
Do they hate Super Mario?
I never asked. I can't ask because he never shows up to work.
Just like those lazy Italians.
That's why I couldn't use them.
Oh.
It took too long. That's why that episode was so late. You can blame Italy. All right.
I frequently
thanks
do.
Yeah.
Martin Gray says, the best comic book romance podcast just got better.
I guess
high praise.
Maybe because we joined the network.
No, we were really shitty before.
Our production value jumped.
Illegal Machine said, Edward Scissorhands? Gothic romance? Modern gothic romance? Because we were like...
Oh, yeah.
I commented on Twitter. Like, I was like, yeah, that's a good one. That fits.
Vincent Price is in it. Boom. Solved.
And scissors and hands.
Yeah, scissors and hands. That's true. Yeah. See, I like that because in the title of the movie, it tells me what to expect, and it's in there.
Yeah, it's in there.
Just like, I love The Maze Runner. Why? There were mazes and people ran. I'm fun. 4 out of 5
Maze Runner,
stars.
A modern classic.
This is movies.
Jaws was like a huge set of Jaws.
I know, I hate those movie titles that have nothing to do with the film.
Exactly. Tootsie, yeah. No roles.
I know. Imitation Game, who are we imitating?
Exactly.
Such a sham.
There wasn't even a game. There was no baseball at all.
No baseball.
Facebook comments. Mike Arsano says, yes, I was despairing that work would be totally miserable today, but now I know it won't be.
We're at work, maybe.
Mike, you know work's gonna suck.
Ryan Daly said, and frankly, the thunder effect wasn't used nearly enough.
There was a lot of thunder.
I stole that from him, because whenever he uses the word Shazam on Secret Origins,
there's thunder
in the background. I thought maybe one day we'll do a wall-to-wall, just rumbling thunder the whole
week. It's going to be our ASMR episode.
We only
it's
have
gonna
to...
It's going
to
crinkle paper, it's going to be thunder and rumbling in the
just
background.
Just doing Foley. We're just foleying.
Yeah.
Or say Shazam. A lot of the time.
Okay. On the blog, we got Chris Franklin, who said, been binging the episodes and loving every minute of it. This one is a standout and the best Lonely Hearts Theater yet. The scans also prove Vince Galletta wasn't just a hack inker who erased penciler's work to meet last-minute deadlines and get more work. He does some solid pencil work here on Alex Toth.
Yeah, great.
Okay.
Yeah.
The story's a hoot. I've almost detected some hidden context that the lady was trying to provoke some violence out of him. You can read it either way, but it seems to be there and would be no less outrageous than the taming... Oh, this is the taming of the...
Of the brute.
Rob says, wonderful episode, fellas. Alex Toth did some amazing work for the DC Romance line, underlining how he generally had no time for superheroes. Great to see one of his stories given such a thorough examination. The brief line of Atlas Seaboard Comics did a romance magazine called Gothic Romances.
So we can add that to Secret House of Secret Love Gothic Romance. Secret.
Is it Secret? Secret? House of Gothic Romance?
I can't remember anymore.
Is there a house in there?
There's a house, but there's no Gothic.
Okay.
But that was this one here was such a sales bomb that it is now almost impossible to find. Apparently, it features work by Neil Adams, Ernie Colon, and Howard Chaykin, making it sound amazing. If I'm ever lucky to get a hold of a copy, I will send you scans so you can discuss it on the show.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
wow.
Please do.
Please, be pirates in our stead. I still think Romance Comics could make a comeback. Maybe this show will help spearhead that effort. Rob keeps saying stuff like that, like Romance Comics are coming back.
we're trendsetters. We're streets ahead.
There are still Romance Comics published today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fewer. I mean, it's not a trend. I'm not sure they're coming back.
I think it's very niche, but
no, it's going to come back. I'm telling you.
It's a niche.
After this superhero phase we're having right now,
once
movies,
we hit superhero,
we're going to have the Marvel Universe, Romantic Universe.
Well, any Iron Man movie really is already that.
Martin Gray says, are you doing a Who's Who and starting a new volume of your new at your new home?
Are you?
No, we're not. Okay. This is episode 9. Okay. We're keeping the numbering as it was. Great show as ever. How I love the romance theater. Should you ever have a Brit bit part going? A Brit bit part going?
Brit bit part.
That gal looks an awful lot like Cynthia from The Witching Hour, but I think Toth did draw her a fair bit early on. He may even have been the first. Anyway, bedtime. Hope my quill doesn't get ink on my baby doll.
It's a lot of information there, buddy. Thanks a lot.
You know what? Good thing this is the St. Valentine's episode. Yeah. Otherwise.
Yeah. Fern's getting randy over here.
Ryan Daly also chimed in on the blog. He says, Randy's as always, funny. This was an outstanding episode, though it could have used a bit more thundercrack. He says it again.
See, I told you.
He says it again.
Liberal use of thunders.
Yes. Gothic romance is a subgenre I've always wanted to love, but frequently find the writing impenetrable to my sensibilities. My favorite gothic novel was The Turn of the Screw, but it was tough to read, even though it's not very long.
Is that the porn parody of Tim?
It is not. I've never been displeased by any Alex Toth art I've ever seen, and Giacoya does a great job with the moody atmospheric inks the story needs. The story looks gorgeous, and from your description and LH Theater, it sounds like a whole lot of fun. But hands down, the best part of the episode was the Raquel Welch sidetrack.
Yes!
Oh my, but...
Yes!
You could, really, for guys? Bucks, for $2, you can buy a pillow!
That was the best part. I was like, come on, shut up about this goddamn pillow.
That was the part where you went to the bathroom, and they went to town on this pillow.
Oh my god, I would buy that pillow right now.
I would
now.
Go to my town eyes on that rolled so much.
I would just drink tea with her. As a pillow.
Sure. As a pillow.
As a pillow.
I was like, it's like a human-shaped pillow. It's like I thought, when you start talking about it, I thought it'd be like, you know, a big, tall pillow.
No, it's
with a print.
That's probably
like a picture.
That's probably what it actually is.
But the actual ad shows a human-shaped.
Yes, but
it's a sex doll.
It's a sex pillow.
It's a body pillow. It's a body pillow.
So is Raquel Welch your waifu?
If only. Now imagine this. What if Raquel Welch had a bus pillow?
Oh, she would be comfortable.
She would be drinking tea with that.
She would have a lot of Earl Grey on.
Very bizarre.
Next letter. Next letter.
Michael Sano also chimed in on the blog. He says, "Howling at the medieval madness pinball game as educational tool reference."
Yes.
And then he writes a little bit of dialogue for the deaf person in love. Despite your impaired hearing, howling out loud, I don't care that you're deaf. What? I said I don't care that you're deaf. So, a little bit here. Michael May said, fantastic episode, or actually fantastic episode.
There's an emphasis there.
There's an emphasis. I need to track down that comic. The combination of Toth and one of my favorite genres is too awesome. Regarding your discussion on whether contemporary gothic romances are still possible, Rebecca was modern for its day, and it pulled it off pretty well. And of course, Southern Gothic is a whole subgenre with plenty of stories set in the modern day.
Yeah,
and that's also about like the South's decay as a society.
It is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like
the South, the American South has something Victorian about it. Chiming in during the editing, I've got a couple of comments that came in later than our recording session, so I want to get them in. Diablo Frank wrote in, when I type gothic into a Google image search, I get Amy Lee forlornly listening to the Crow soundtrack in a cemetery, Victorian house, nature setting, under poor lighting conditions. When I add romance, they add a heroin addict in a top hat, who I could refer to as androgynous, except the dude's topless and have the pictures and doesn't have not-safe-for-work boobies. Also, Tim Burton and Edgar Allan Poe. Those seem kind of like narrow parameters for a genre. In my own mind, it's simply a mix of romance and horror trappings, which typically suggest some sort of social repression the protagonist is trepidatiously rebelling against through the allure of the forbidden. You can also flip the emphasis and tell an otherwise bitter horror story sweetened by romance. That broadens the scope considerably from Red Dragon to Jessica Jones to Exit to Eden, and would indicate that gothic romance is alive and, if anything, thriving today.
You guys, excusably given your lack of proximity, also overlook the subgenre's subgenre of Southern U.S. Gothic, which is actually much closer to its romantic forebears in its predilection for outdated and questionable social mores, crumbling old homes, dark secrets, isolation, etc. I was listening to the romance theater segment while dusting and otherwise tending house, which seemed appropriate. I still haven't gone back to comment on earlier episodes because I believe I stopped ahead of one of the series of shows discussing the Superman-Wonder Woman romance, and if I even start talking about that, it'll turn into an Amazon ebook of ranting. In other words, Who's Who podcast comment section? Hopefully, our long international nightmare is over. And he really wanted to correct us that the tweet about a Frankgasm, which was tweeted from the Rolled Spine podcast's account, wasn't him. It was Illegal Machine talking about him. Nuance. Nathaniel Wayne also wrote in to say another great episode, and gothic romance is certainly an interesting subgenre to tackle. As horrifically written and ill-informed as it was, I think Fifty Shades of Grey does qualify as gothic romance. It portrays a classically poorly matched and inherently destructive relationship a la Wuthering Heights. And before you ask, no, I never read it. However, my wife did, out of morbid curiosity. Mm-hmm. And she insisted on reading the most painfully and hilariously awful parts to me, which means I had about 3/4 of the book read to me. But ultimately, gothic romance is very difficult to do outside of what was the modern times when most of the classics of the genre were originally written in the 1800s, which is of course why films like Crimson Peak are made as period pieces. The stories just work better set in that time, which makes it tough for me because I like the heart and themes and structures of gothic romances. I just often can't get into the writing style of the times. That makes these kinds of updates fun when you come across them. Well, thank you, Nathaniel Wayne of 90s Comics Retrial. Now back to editing.
Facebook likes and shares.
Yay! Still have that?
Yep. Tim Wallace, Van Z, Randy Daniel Johnston, Chantal Annick Saunier, Clinton Robison, Earth Destruction Directive, Corey Hodgson, True True Freaks, Coffee Comics Blog, José Robichaud, Max Romero, Comics Reflections, Alan Middleton, Ruth Sutherland, and Gene Hendricks, with Twitter retweets and favorites from Isabel Godin, Comics Reflections, Tima Maria Lacoba, Count Druncula, Greg A., Podcast, Ange, Coffee and Comics Blog, Trekker Talk, and DSNRS.
Well, thank you very much, guys.
Final thoughts. Well, thanks for listening, Lonely Hearts. Let me just remind you that the Romance Comics Podcast is available on iTunes, and that we've moved house to the network page where you can leave comments. That's fireandwaterpodcast.com. Remember to follow the Facebook page, and if you're leaving messages on Twitter, the preferred hashtag is #FWPodcasts. FWPodcasts.
Yes.
See you next time.
Here's to the losers. Here's to the losers. Bless them all.
Horses fucking around.
My little
horses
pony.
Fucking superheroes. Anal dick horse in Superman's butt.
Anal dick
horse in Superman's butt.
Anal dick horse. This has to be your blooper reel.
Have weird kryptonite half horse babies. Kryptonite centaurs. They shoot super arrows made from their hairs.
My favorite part is it's Marty who's singing this and not Fern.